I want to go into a topic this morning that is very difficult for most people, including myself. It's hard to grasp, it's hard to put into practice, it's hard to imagine, it's hard to describe, but we're going to give it a try this morning anyway. And that's the idea of Sabbath time, what it is to have a Sabbath. Very, very important. It's essential for our discipleship. It's one of the ways that we bear fruit as disciples. But yet it's really difficult to just come up with how am I going to do that? Usually when we talk about what do you do to take a Sabbath, that's the question that comes up. How am I going to do that? So as I was thinking about this, I was reminded of something that happened to me. I was part of it back in my seminary days. I was in a program called CPE, Clinical Pastoral Education, and I guess I'm reminded of it because my son is doing that right now. And he told me he likes CPE. I hated it, but that's a different matter altogether. One of our responsibilities in clinical pastoral education was this. We were in a hospital, you know, for the entire summer as part of the chaplain's staff, and we would go in every day. But there would be weekends when we had to be on call the entire weekend. So we stayed at the hospital the entire time. And in the early hours of one morning, I got a call, and I had to go because someone, as I recall, it was a stillborn baby. But there's some way that the child could have possibly been saved. I don't remember all of the details, but I went in to see the doctor who was in charge of the case, and he was sitting there in whatever the doctor's lounge or whatever room it was right next there. He was sitting there with his head in his hands, just feeling devastated, understandably, naturally. That's what he would have felt. And here I am, you know, I'm in seminary, I'm not ordained yet, maybe I'm 27 or something like that, you know, well, that's getting along, but still not enough to really know what I was talking about. And I'm thinking, what am I going to do here? What's going to happen? So I finally said, "How are you?" I mean, it was obvious how he was, but maybe he would have said something nice. Would you like to have a prayer? And as I recall, he said no. And just took another moment and then went off to the next thing. Now, it's not that he was against prayer. I don't know anything about him. I've never seen him before, never seen him after. Don't know what happened. But I know this. In that moment of devastation, when he had dedicated his life to saving lives, to doing good, there was a failure, a devastating failure. One of the things that I am assuming, and I believe he did feel, was it shakes his calling. It shakes your calling. When there's a devastating thing like that about what you've given your life to, then that calling is shaken. You know, what do I do about that? Where do I go from here? Why did this happen? How am I going to get around this? What if it happens again? All of that goes on within us. And one of the places that we are tempted to go after that is to dive headfirst back into the work. Now, I imagine that doctor had no other choice. There were other things, and he was probably on a very demanding schedule. So back he goes. But for you and me, when there is not those devastating, life-changing kinds of things that go on, but still things pile up, we keep going and we keep going and we keep going. And if our schedule loosens up a little bit, our minds keep going and going and going. And it builds up. So it's not a devastating incident that happens, but it's an accumulated kind of way that happens in our lives. And we begin feeling our calling is shaken. Why am I doing all this? What's the purpose of it? What difference does it make? When am I going to have some time for what I want to do without any other kind of attachments at all going on? What in the world is happening here? Anybody ever feel that? No, okay. Good for you. Then you'll Yeah. Oh. Okay. Right. So, see that chicks are calling, and one of the things that we are tempted to do is then go right from that realization, that feeling, that reaction to our lifestyle, and dive into something that we think we would like, if we can do it. And what I want to suggest today, which is really difficult to do, and I'm not saying that I am the model of how this is done, but it's difficult to do, but it is what Jesus tells us to do as part of being a disciple of Christ. It's what it is to follow him, and that is, instead of diving into something to overcome that sense of devastation or that sense of being overwhelmed, dive into Sabbath time. Because it's in Sabbath time that you regain your calling, you get that sense of purpose, you gain your identity, and your character is built. Now, I know that doesn't help with the question, okay, I see that, but how am I going to do that? So let's see what we can come up with that this morning. Let's see how that might actually fit into our lives. Because one of the things that Jesus says, in fact, in the first part of the gospel today, at the bottom of the page, very last sentence of that page, he says, the Sabbath was made for humankind and not humankind for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath. Now, if the Sabbath is made for us, then there's something that we would get out of it. And the question is, how am I going to do that? The underlying anxiety about that is, if I take Sabbath, I'm going to lose a lot of things. So I can't do it, or else I'll lose the things that I stopped doing. But Jesus said, no, the Sabbath is made for you. And in fact, he says, more than that, I am the Lord of the Sabbath. So he's the Lord of our lives, Lord of everything about us. He would also be the Lord of the Sabbath. So how would the Lord of the Sabbath want us to be taking the Sabbath time? Now, I know a lot of you are still thinking, okay, he's Lord of the Sabbath. Okay, he's made for us. But how am I going to do that? And that's what we're looking at. Now, often what happens when we're thinking, how am I going to get into Sabbath time? Well, how am I going to arrange my life for that? How am I going to take one whole entire day off? Because in Genesis it says God worked for 6 days and then the seventh day he took off. If God can do it, I can. Well, you know, how am I going to do that? That's right. See, a lot of times what's driving that is that we were raised in families or had parents or maybe a pastor or maybe somebody else who is significant in our lives who felt it was their sole responsibility and their calling in their lives to correct us on everything that we did. Now, maybe not you or I had that, but you know people where that was the case. You know, just every turn, oh, that's wrong. Oh, wait, what are you doing that for? Whoa, hey. I'm correcting you. You should thank me. All that kind of stuff that's going on is what that'll keep an undercurrent of us never wanting to stop. Because if we stop, God or somebody God sends is going to correct us about what we're doing. And in fact, if we keep going, God or somebody that God sends is going to correct us about what we're doing. All of that is going on. To which Jesus says, no, 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 no. The Sabbath I made for you. And I'm the Lord of that Sabbath. So sometimes our reaction is like this. If I don't keep my schedule full, then I have to look at empty space. And I'm afraid of what's going to fill that. And if our schedules are not all that busy, you know, they're manageable, but our minds are going all the time, and we try to slow down the cycle of thinking going on in our minds, you know. Well, you know what that is. You get up in the morning and say, well, I got to do this and this and this and this and that, and there's this person, and then that one who's not going to let me do this or that because they need to have this. And And then when that starts going on, if I do that, then there's this over here that I'm not going to be able to get to. So if I don't get to that because I did this, then I'm going to lose this. Anybody have a thought cycle like that? Especially when you first get up. Now, if that stops, then what happens is the anxiety that we're going to face an emptiness in our mind. And the thoughts that we know, as condemning as they are, become more desirable than the thoughts that we don't yet know because they might be worse. There's that emptiness, we're fearful of that emptiness. What's going to fill it? Now, not everybody's like that, and you may not have a lifestyle like that, but that may happen from time to time. And then you think, well, okay, Sabbath time. Jesus says he's the Lord of Sabbath. If I arrange that, I put that in the rhythm of my life, what does that mean? Well, remember the Ten Commandments. Remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. And then, holy? Not that. I'm afraid of holy. I mean, God is holy. And, what if I want to keep the Sabbath holy and I do something that's not holy? Am I going to be in trouble? Lightning going to strike me? Something going to happen? I don't know if I'm going to get into that either. See, it all comes from somebody your whole life correcting you about every thought that you have. Not that you and I had that, but you know people like that. The thought of God being holy and above us and that causing us fear and awe and reverence, that's legitimate. The thought of holiness being either something that we cannot attain to at all, cannot share in at all, and God will get us for that, or that holiness is boring, stifling, and confining. Those are illegitimate fears. They're just not true. It's not the way that it is. Now, other people may have given you the impression that that's the way that it is. A very strong impression that that's the way that it is. But it's not the way that it is. The holiness of God is his life, his grace, his mercy, and his power flowing through your life. That's the holiness of God. It is not a lifestyle which is stifled, boring, confining, or anything like it. And you start relating to God, and there's more life and more power than we know what to do with. There's more joy than we know what to do with. Those who have given up, you remember that Jesus said, will receive 100 times more than what they've given up. That's the holiness of God, his life flowing through us. When you keep the Sabbath holy, what you are doing is opening up yourself to that life of God, that 100 and more times life, more than we can imagine, flowing into your life. That tremendous grace and love of God flowing into you. That's what it is to receive the holiness of God. And keeping the Sabbath holy means that we have times in our lives, rhythms in our lives, when we are particularly and specifically open to that at that moment, at that time. So what happens is, when our schedules are so full because we're afraid if we don't do everything and do it right now and get it done and make sure that it happens and all everything is in order, what happens is we don't have anything left to turn towards the holiness of God. Or when our minds are going all the time, there's this and 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 this, then there's nothing open in our soul to receive that holiness of God. So it calls for a discipline of just stopping somehow and receiving it. And if you stop and the thoughts kind of settle down and your mind goes off onto something else, you know what? That's okay. No one's going to come along and correct you for that. No one's going to come along and say, aha, you settled down your mind and then you let your mind go off somewhere. That's wrong. That's not going to happen. If your mind goes off somewhere, you just bring your mind back. That's all. You've probably done that a lot of times. Practicing the keyboard, right? Your mind goes somewhere. You just bring it back. That's all it is. You just keep bringing it back to the presence of God. One of the things that I do somewhat regularly is I put the timer on my iPad to 5 minutes. And I press the button to get it started. And I just spend 5 minutes trying to be aware of the presence of the Spirit of God right there. Now, I think every time that happens, my mind goes somewhere else during those 5 minutes. But I bring it back. I haven't kept a record of that. I just can't think of a time when it hasn't done that. But I've spent that time intending to and opening myself up to the presence of Jesus. That's a Sabbath moment. What happens in that time, like when I do bring my mind back? The Lord is dealing with my character. Who am I in His presence? I'm His child. He's forming me to be like Him. There's something about the essence of my soul that he is transforming at that moment. Not so that I can be like somebody else's idea of what correct is, so that I can be of what His idea of what a full life is like. So that's just one of the things that I do. Now, as you may have noted, 5 minutes is not an entire day. You may have noticed that. You may know some people, practicing Jewish people, who, if they want to watch TV on Saturday, will turn it on Friday before sundown, so they can on the correct channel, so they can watch the show on Saturday they want to watch. You can do that too if you want, but it's not on our list of things to do to keep the Sabbath holy. But it's getting into the presence of God. That not only deals with our character, transforming us into the likeness of Jesus, it shows us direction and the future. See, what happens sometimes when our minds are going a billion miles a minute and our schedule is filled to every moment and we're thinking, I can't take any time, I can't stop, I can't do it. When that happens is the present becomes a prison. And all that we can handle is what is right in front of us right at the moment. And we can't see anything else. And when you just stop and take in the presence of Jesus, what happens is that He then shows you what's coming. Or what you might become. It's not that you can predict the future. It's that you're out of the present. You're out of the walls confining you in the present. In fact, in Isaiah, it says, delight in the Sabbath, and you will delight in the Lord, and I will take you to the heights of the earth. Isaiah 53. Well, what do you see when the heights of the earth? You see pretty far, not just what's right in front of your nose. Now, I want to give you one other way that I kind of practice the Sabbath, keeping the Sabbath holy. And it might not work for you, but there's other things. The idea is that you are connecting with the presence of God so that the life of God will be flowing into you and through you. You become more of what you were created to be. Some of these songs that I write, that's a Sabbath practice for me. And what I'm doing when I do that is I am stopping the tendency and the temptation to look at a Bible verse or a doctrine or something so that I can teach it. so that I can bring it here and say something clever about it on a Sunday morning or something. Okay, that's my work. And I've had to do that for all these years, and I get used to that. And what that means is I am looking at the scriptures not so that they'll change me, but so that I have something to say. So what I need to do sometimes is turn away from that and just take that scripture and what it's saying and what God wants to tell me and sit with it and not come up with points or outlines or other references or whatever it is, but just sit with it. And the way I discipline myself sometimes to sit with it is to write music about it. Because that comes from somewhere else in my soul other than my word processor. Now, that I don't do that for a whole day. I do that for a little bit of time, so that the life and power and mercy of Jesus will flow into me and through me. So I'll become more of what he wants me to be. So that I will deal with the moment, the Kairos moment, when Jesus is tapping me on the shoulder and saying, John, I want to talk to you about this. And when he's talking to me about this, you know what happens. He creates something in me that wasn't there before. That's what's happening in Sabbath time. Now, there might be something else for you. You might want to think of the practice of all-day retreats every so often, where you go somewhere and do that. No phone, no interruptions, just you and God, or half a day, or sometimes, or 5 minutes with the timer, or whatever it is, so that you can keep the Sabbath holy. Now, the result will be you will bear fruit. See, part of this resting in Jesus is referred to as abiding. John 15, it's abiding. And when you abide in Jesus, then you will bear much fruit, fruit to the glory of God. All your activity comes from your relationship with Jesus. All the ministry that God ordains from his church comes from that relationship with Jesus. It's not that we borrow it from somewhere else or do what we did before or think of something because we've got to have something. It comes from our relationship with him. And the fruit that is born gives glory to God. The primary practice of having the church increase is abiding in Jesus. It's Sabbath time. When you come here on a Sunday morning and you're singing or in the prayers of the people or whenever it is, when you're coming up for communion and God taps you on the shoulder, that means something of the Spirit of God is being born. And you have had a holy Sabbath moment when that is going on. And out of that will be fruit that gives glory to his name as you keep stepping forward into that. That's what it is to understand Jesus and understand the Word and understand what it is to follow him. So, what is Jesus today telling you about the Sabbath time he wants you to have? Whether it's keeping your mind from going a billion miles a minute or something about your schedule or whatever it is, what is he telling you about how he wants you to practice that? And then, of course, what step does he want you to take into that? Okay. Everybody okay? I'm not convinced yet, but that's all right. Let's stand and ask God to send us into this. Well, Jesus, we thank you that you have called us and challenged us and invited us and lead us into those moments and days of Sabbath time. And we ask that we would know the holiness and the life and the grace and the power and the mercy that is yours as we come apart with you. And we ask that above all, we would bear fruit that gives glory to your name. Amen.